Well, it has fallen to me to share with you from the Word of God in Reverend Anderson's absence. I looked at it and I determined I could not finish the book of Luke this week, so we'll continue in the fall. You understand, Lord willing, we start next week with our combined adult Sunday school in the gymnasium. But until then, let's look at the Word of God from the book of Genesis. I want to get down to the story of a man named Enoch. He was not. He was not. Let me read to you from the fifth chapter of Genesis. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 4, just prior to this, we have the awful story of the degeneration of man, encapsulated in the story of Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel, and with no apparent remorse that we can see afterwards, caught in the act, as it were, "Where's your brother Abel? I'm not my brother's keeper." That's far from being sorry for what you did. No sign of remorse there. And this isn't far down the line from Adam and Eve, is it, that this thing is going on? Of course, our chapter 5 here ends fittingly with Noah and what's going to happen in his life, that God will bring an end to what's highlighted in chapter 4 of Genesis. We have a man here especially who epitomizes this era in the person of Lamech. In chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24, we read what he had to say. He said to his wives, to Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. What a boastful, arrogant, and ungodly thing to say. I'm going to go and do this thing. We're going to take this situation and this situation that seems devoid of hope. And then we get to chapter 5, Genesis. We have here the second of 10 toledots in the Old Testament. Those are portions of scripture that begin with words like we have here. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And he goes from Adam through Seth and on to Moses, this godly line. He's tracing this. This toledot tracing is to highlight a person or a special event and track it out. This is the record of, or this is the book of, what's going on here. Well, one of the things that we do see, in particular in verses 1 and 2, that after all this dreadful things going on in chapter 4, is a promise that gives us hope. In verse 1 and 2, the book of the generations of Adam, when God created him, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, blessed them, and named them man. There was a bit of hope here. What's the hope? He created man and made him in the likeness of God. One of the heinous things about murder, in addition to just being plain violation of the commandment, is that you've destroyed someone made in the image of God. How haughty can you be? Well, we could be as haughty as Lamech sometimes, I believe. But now we have a glimmer of hope. We know from chapter 1 of Genesis and 27 that man was created in God's image. So the fall has not completely obliterated the image of God. We have that hope here at the beginning of this chapter. And then you can go and you see it further just a few chapters later. In chapter 9, we read very similar things. In 9 and verse 6, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed." Why? "For God made man in his own image." Brothers and sisters, the people that we rub shoulders with here might not be the people you're going to hang out with later during the week, but they are brothers and sisters made in the image of God. This example in chapter 4 of two brothers, they live together. They're the same father, mother here who can't get along. It's completely opposite of what we should have, even to the extent of those who aren't related to us by blood, but by the Spirit of God. We're made in the image of God. That ought to make us stop and think how we treat ourselves as well, you know. What do you do to protect the image of God in your own personal life, physically and spiritually? What does that mean? What does this privilege of being created in the image of God mean? Think about it a minute. Do you have any answers?
You can talk to God.
That's a very important thing. Thank you, Brother David. Yes, we have a relationship to God as his children. We can talk to him. We can converse with him. We can pray. We can pray. What else? Absolutely. He gives us a directive, tells us this is how you should live. You're created in this image. You also, thankfully by God's grace, considering who's teaching you today, you have the capacity to hear God's word. You can cut away all the wood, hay, and stubble that I may throw out here accidentally, but you have the capacity to hear God's word. This is the Holy Creator and Redeemer speaking through his word, and we have the capacity to hear it. When I say hear it, I mean to understand it as well, to get from this the eternal truth he wants us to have. Well, another thing we see here, and it probably is not as apparent as it would be if we were in chapters 1 and 2, man had this responsibility as well as the ability to rule the earth. My, how we have destroyed that in our sin. How do we rule today? It's not as one created in the image of God. Well, in verse 2, we see his blessing as well, God's blessing. We have the promise bound up in the likeness of God, verse 1, but we see his blessing too in the created order, verse 2. Male and female, he created them and he blessed them. He blessed them. What did he tell them to do?
Be fruitful and multiply.
That is very, very significant. What we have in Genesis 5 here is a selective genealogy, if you will. There are gaps in between these people, but he's tracking here, highlighting particular people in this listing. When you get down to, for instance, you see Seth lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. It is very possible and likely that he'd fathered other children before that and after that. But the point being made is that of he fathered this particular man, Enosh. We get down to Enoch. He lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. It's quite likely that he had other children because they had more than just sons. They had sons and daughters. There's a great deal of time involved here, and there's more children than just the ones that are limited here. They were, hopefully, doing what God had told them to do, be fruitful and multiply. Plus, we see an amazing longevity here in this God telling these people to go and live. What's taking place in such a long longevity here? Which will... we'll see it begin to narrow down. But what's taking place? If you have a lifespan of 800, 900 years, you have a time period to learn tremendous amount of things, to develop a lot of things. The boss's demand that your project be turned in by Monday may be Monday of 2028, if we live this long. But besides that, you think of all these generations that cross each other. Anybody ever here in here ever trace your genealogy? I never did. I don't have the time. My youngest son has, and sometimes you get to places and say, "Oh, really? That's my kin?" But we begin to learn about them, and sometimes it's good, and every now and then you get an oddball who didn't know how to act in your line. People do my genealogy point to me in regards to that. But we have an opportunity to interrelate with all of these generations. And that's part of what's going on here too. A great deal of interaction, a great deal of working together. You realize from Adam to Noah, all of these generations that have passed, this life of this one called Enoch is about halfway between Adam and Noah. By the time Adam lived all the way up to just before Noah, look at all the generations. You talk about having a family reunion. You'd have to rent out 2 amusement parks to get them all there. All of this is going on. What does that mean? That means there's a capacity to learn. There's the opportunity to learn. But we have, secondly, after that hope, the specter of universal death. In verses 3 through 20, you almost wanted me to skip the second sentence in every one of these, didn't you? What does it say? And he died. And he died. And he died. And he died. Every one of us, no matter how old we are, it's a short span of time. We're going to die. We have the evidence here. The curse has come and has not gone away in that regard. This is a single Hebrew word, and he died. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to pronounce Hebrew. But that is for emphasis. Boom. He died. He died. He died. What a specter that is hanging over this period of time. This long period of time. And it hasn't changed in our lifetime, has it? Any of you still have great-grandparents living? Grandparents living? They died. They died. We've gone from life and hope in verses 1 and 2 to the reality of the specter of death here in verses 3 through 20. Over and over and over again. We will be gone. One of the things it does for me is to change the way I pray. I change the way I pray for my son who lives with us. Someday, Chris and I are going to be gone. How do we lay him before God? What happens? The reality is we're all going to be gone. And the reality is life is short. Even if you live to be 100, it is short. What can you accomplish? What will you accomplish? We will be gone. One man, Mike Mason, wrote this. It's like the unfolding of a murder mystery where we ourselves turn out to be the victim. Wow. Wow. I'm almost getting macabre when I think about death. I wake up some days and think, is this going to be the day? How am I going to go, Lord? Will it be long and protracted? I have prayed that it would not be. So I better be ready for the quick dart, right? Boom. Time to go. But it's a reality and it needs to be dealt with. And how do we deal with it? Well, we see in verses 21 to 24, a bright hope in the midst of all this. What is that bright hope? It's the example of Enoch. He lived 65 years and he fathered Methuselah. Who's Methuselah? And how old was he? He was still 31 years short of a millennium. Why do you think that is? I wonder if it's God's way of saying, you think you're great? You think you're like God? You won't even make it to a millennium. And how many millennia has God been ruling? Even at 969 years, we're done. If we go that long. Past there, we read, Enoch walked with God, and he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. I cannot find any commentator that said this, but a couple speculated that it's interesting that when you combine the age of Enoch when when he fathered Methuselah with the number of years afterwards, it adds up to 365. I don't know any significance in that, but it's interesting to speculate. We'll have to contact a numerologist and ask them. It's also interesting, in the line of Seth, Enoch is the seventh generation down in this line of people mentioned. Conversely, in the line of Cain, guess who's the seventh one down? This gentleman named Lamech. We have here this comparison of these two people. Lamech, who in his boastfulness, in his life of incivility, versus this man Enoch, who walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? It doesn't mean just take a stroll down around the property. It's talking. Yes, brother.
I think one of the things that is to me the best way to look at the whole business of dying is that the Lord has our best interests at heart all the time. And he's taking us home. And if we have a choice between here and there, we're here.
Yeah.
And so if we walk with God and we know him better and better and better, he knows us.
Yes.
The beginning, as well as anybody ever could.
Yeah. Give you hope?
Yeah.
You know, I thought of that in a different way. One time I was studying the book of Job, and doesn't it hit you hard, men, when his wife said to him, why don't you curse God and die?
Yeah.
I probably would mumble, "Why did I take these vows to you?" But the bottom line is, if the God of man were better off dead, guess what? He'd be dead. Like you said, brother, we're walking along the way. In this case, a very exceptional case, one of only two in history, Enoch is not going to taste death. He is walking with God, not taking a stroll, but his entire lifetime bound up in this word. It is the idea of a close personal relationship, always in tune, walking along the way. You have a picture of Adam walking in the garden with God before he fell. A close, close personal relationship. The closest. It's blameless, moral, ethical conduct that Enoch demonstrated in his walk with God. He is not pushed away. He is not driven down by his behavior, but he's able to walk with God. What a blessing that is. How do we work with at that? Kyle and Dalich say that this is the idea of what the priests did when they entered into the Holy of Holies. Only once a year, only that year's high priest would go into there. He said the same picture is taking place here with this description of Enoch walking with God. How elevated a relationship, brothers and sisters. What does that mean? For your assignment this week, I want you to write down every day how you demonstrated that you're walking with God. Only kidding. We wouldn't remember it between now and the end of August, would we? It seems to have started at the age of 65 here. You could deduce from this, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he then fathered Methuselah. It seems, and it lasted another 300 years. Psalm 104 says this, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being." Amen. That should be our lives. What is this? This is a walk of faith. It was demonstrated time and time again all through chapter 11 of Hebrews. This walk of faith spelled out in the lives of all these people. It starts with believing God about who he is. Our nation, from the highest levels of authority in every aspect, whether it's civil authority, whether it's domestic authority, whatever, has forgotten this, that God is who he says he is. And that's where we need to begin. This is what the walk of faith is. And beyond that, we need to remember he rewards those who seek him. Brothers, sisters, what a reward Enoch received when he did this. What a reward. Jude 14 and 15 talks about him, and it's interesting to read that. What happened? He was taken from this life into a higher life, and it was an easy transition. It's not just a high point in his life here. It is the penultimate. He is leaving, walking around here, and going home to be with God. A glorious removal. Enoch walked with God. Thus all of the days were 365 years, and he was not, for God took him. Of course, the only other example we have of that is who? In Scripture. Pardon? No, there's another, Elijah, the prophet Elijah, you remember? Elisha talks about the chariots and the angels coming to take him away. What's going on here? It's like God has said, "The world is not worthy of you. Come be with me." What a testimony that is. What an imprimatur of God and his holiness. Come with me. You're not even going to taste death. The world was not worthy of him. Well, what happens after this? What happens after chapter 5?
Chapter 6.
Boy, you want me to throw you under the bus, don't you? Where did you go to school? I'm done. I'll meet you next Monday, brother.
Yeah, you will.
He didn't go to Clemson. Anyhow, what's going on here? Chapter 6 is leading us into the flood, the destruction of the earth. And God is saying to Enoch, basically, it's not written here, before that happens, come up with me. You will not taste that death. You're coming with me. What a blessed time that is. His work, in other words, was done. Perhaps we need to live in light of that. What are the things that you yet have to do or ought to do for God? I say have to do. If you haven't witnessed to your children, your grandchildren, that's something you have to do, in my opinion, before you meet God. If you haven't, well, you can add to that list. You realize that all the patriarchs in Scripture, except for Adam, were alive at this period of time leading into the flood. All of them. They would have had knowledge of the things that Enoch had knowledge of. They would have had opportunities to experience the fellowship with God that Enoch had had. 69 years later, this would happen. What a confirmation of their faith. He pleased God by faith. He walked with him. And it's by that faith that God honored him. You don't need much in the Christian life. You don't need a list of 50 things and how to. We need faith. We need faith. What does that look like? Well, it looks like trusting him with everything he gives us in the way of promises, in his word. Everything. Loving faithfulness. We have to believe in that. And we need to believe in light of that, that there is judgment for sin. We have the positive picture of Enoch, and he was no more. We have the specter of death in every other name listed in there. And if we look at obituaries, every one of our names are going to be there someday. Methuselah, a man who lasted 969 years, but still short. Not 1,000. What does God's word say about 1,000 years? It's a day in the sight of God. You understand how insignificant in some ways we're marking on the timeline of history. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Brothers, 1,000 years is as a day in the sight of God. We need to tread lightly when it comes to dealing with sin. We need to heed the solemn warnings that God gives. We need to eschew, do away with any kind of attitude that smacks of Lamech. And be like this one who was no more. He was not, for God took him. Any questions or comments? No? Well, I'm going to end there. Maybe short, but I had two things interfere with me this week that kept me from going longer. One of them was that I saw no way I could finish the book of Luke today. Just no way. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for the light of your word, and we thank you that we have some capacity for learning it and understanding it and even hiding it away in our hearts, because we've been created in your image, and those of us who have been redeemed have been made into the image of our Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to heed the warnings of Scripture, to be like this man Enoch. We don't know a lot about him, but we know enough. Father, may we learn this eternal lesson. We pray that we take the word with us, and we pray that you'd bless it to our hearts and lives and be used by you to those around us. Bless our attempts to worship you even in the hour to come. We pray that we'd go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.